during the month of September. We know it as the Respect Life Month, and so much of our focus is praying at abortion clinics and trying to change the hearts and minds of women before they make a decision. But after a devastating decision is made and a life is lost through abortion, there is still hope and healing found. And that hope and healing can be found in the Catholic Church. Joining me this morning is Lori Eckstein. She is the executive director of Project Aurora. It is through this ministry that women and men who are post-abortive can find that consoling heart of Jesus that will heal their own. Lori is joining me today so that way we can get the information out to anyone who is in need to join them at an upcoming retreat. Lori, thank you so much for being with us on the Morning Blend.
Thank you for having me.
You know, Lori, many people might think, wow, that's a big subject to have in the talk about in the morning is abortion. But what Project Aurora is about is healing the heart of men and women who have been lied to and have made a decision. And so now more than ever, Project Aurora needs to be here in the Pacific Northwest so that way men and women can find the healing that they need. You have been a part of Project Aurora since its founding. In fact, you're a co-founder of Project Aurora here in the Pacific Northwest. Just tell me a little bit about Project Aurora and the work that you all do.
Well, I'll start with myself.
Okay.
I was born and raised in Oregon, down in Cottage Grove, and I grew up in a home that did not have faith in it. However, I had a good family life, and I didn't expect to ever become pregnant as a teenager, but I did at age 16, and my parents offered me the opportunity of, the choice, they said, of having a baby, and do you want a baby, is the way it was put. And I thought, no, I don't want a baby. I did not realize that I already had one inside. And so they made the arrangements for me to go to Eugene and have an abortion. And after that, it totally changed me. I did not understand how or why it changed me. I had bouts of depression at a certain time every year, which later I realized was the month that I'd had my abortion. Just a lot of shame. I felt less than, self-condemnation, felt unworthy. And so those are things that I carried around and did not ever connect them with the abortion. So then fast forward to when I was age 46, that's when I found out about the Rachel's Vineyard retreats. And I began to understand that I was impacted for that long with the abortion I'd have when I was 16. So I went on a retreat, and they were not here in Oregon at that time, and in fact, not on the West Coast. So my desire was to see them here, but I never expected that I would be a founder, that I would be one of the shakers and movers for this. I never felt worthy or that I knew what I was doing. So it's miraculous that God brought me and another woman together to figure out how to launch this ministry and serve all the people that have been impacted by abortion.
Lori, in that time, you are a convert to the faith. You found the Catholic Church through your marriage. And did you realize then that once you became Catholic and you started to look back on what you had gone through, that healing and consolation for what you had gone through was happening through your faith, that that's what it took for you to be able to find that healing and then to be able to start the project so that way other women can find healing as well?
Yes, it began to give me solid answers and understanding so I could make connections. It was all like a blur, like it lived in this dark shame spot in my inside me, like I'd buried it, put it in this black box, slammed the lid on it, and tried to live my life as if it didn't exist. But it did. But the light of the Catholic faith helped me a lot to understand, especially through confession, but studying just truth. In general, through the Catholic Church. And the priest we had at that time in my small parish was very helpful in helping me to understand that forgiveness was a free gift from God through Jesus Christ. But we post-abortive people often can't forgive ourselves.
Sure.
And so we beat ourselves up and we think we could have, should have done something different. So it becomes a vicious cycle where it's a no-win. We cannot undo it.
Mm-hmm.
And so it feels very stuck. And it feels like it's the right thing to do. I should be punished for this somehow.
That is a common theme and thought of many women. And we know now men, too, are also suffering from abortion because of the decision a partner had made that it was out of their hands as well. Lori Eckstein joining us today to talk to us about Project Aurora and the upcoming retreats. You spoke about this cycle, that every year you would fall into certain symptoms, that of depression, and you were able to finally connect that to the abortion. I think many women today are lied to about what is the post-abortion feeling, that it doesn't just go away. And then when they fall into these cycles, because they have been told that there are no consequences, that they can't realize and can't connect their abortion to what they are going through. What are some of those post-abortion stresses that you, through your work as executive director of Project Aurora, are helping women understand that the things that they are going through now is because of what happened previously? What are some of those stresses that they didn't realize they were experiencing had to do with their abortion?
I think the place I'd like to start in an answer to this is that when an abortion decision is made, and I avoid the word choice because choice implies that you have full knowledge, and that is extremely rare, or our understanding is compromised in that decision. There can be pressure, coercion, whatever it might be, but all of us then have things that are influencing our decision. And so the outcome afterward is going to be varied, but crosses the whole spectrum of human emotions and choices and reactions after that. So there's a study by, I think it was Planned Parenthood, that said, we did this exit interview after women come out having an abortion, and they all said relief. Well, we're talking about relief from a stressor. So the pregnancy at that time was an extreme stress in their life. You remove the stressor and the immediate feeling is going to be relief. That is very short-lived. It's a way we have of coping. God gives it to us. So from then on out, old patterns will get worse. Let's say there's depression or anxiety or anger or avoidance or even self-harm. Sabotaging relationships, avoiding places that or stimuli that would remind you of the abortion. It completely alters a person's life. And sometimes it's external alteration, sometimes it's internal, sometimes it's both. So when we talk about the spectrum, one woman can have a drive to succeed. Okay, she's going to show that abortion decision was important, that she had to do it in order to succeed. So she's going to work really hard at being the top of everything she does. And on the other hand, you've got the woman who feels that she's unworthy of anything and so will live a life that's underproductive, satisfying, just over and over falling into that pattern without even realizing it. I don't deserve this. Whatever the little messages in her mind will tell her the impulses. And it's similar with men, but men and the way they live out these symptoms, they can have excessive anger, but they can have anxiety too, mood swings. They can have fear of failures in work, school, sports, competition, just on and on. Because there's something deep inside of them that tells them that they failed at being the father, the man that they should, the role that God's given us. Even if they don't have a belief in God, there's something innate in men mm-hmm. that tells them. These are the messages of what a man is. So a sense of damaged manliness, objectifying women, even promiscuity and affairs, it can be incorporated into their behaviors. It's a way of living releasing those emotions that men have. They don't internalize it as much as women do, but they substance abuse. Risk taking is huge in our society, and that's mostly men, but it can be women. And that is also a way of trying to cope with any trauma in your life. And abortion is traumatic, and it's unresolved grief.
Lori Eckstein is joining us today to talk about the work that she is doing as executive director with Project Aurora. There are retreats coming up for people who are experienced, who are post-abortive, both men and women. And maybe now we're looking back, listening to the list of stressors that maybe they are going through. Well, that can maybe be linked to a previous abortion experience. Lori, I want to know more about these retreats. And for our listeners, maybe they know somebody who can benefit from one of these, but it is time for my break. Can you stay with me through the break so we can continue in our next half hour?
Thank you. I'd be glad to.
And I'm back this morning, joined by Lori Eckstein. She is the executive director of Project Aurora. Lori helps women in need, and she is inviting those who need to find that hope and healing to one of their upcoming retreats. Lori, thank you so much for staying with us today.
Thank you. I'm glad to continue to share about this.
Lori, in our first half hour, you had shared so intimately about how women feel post-abortive, and that in trying to find healing, many of us, if we've done something wrong, we try to make it right again, right? But for
yes.
women who are post-abortive, they can't change that decision, that it will always be there, but they still can find hope and healing. And one of the ways they do that is through these retreats, these weekend retreats. There is one coming up October 14th through the 16th in Eugene, and then two more early next year in Portland and in Medford. So for our listeners, even if they haven't experienced it, this is important information so that we can share to people who maybe are. How did these projects, these weekends begin many years ago?
They began actually on the East Coast with a woman named Dr. Teresa Burke. And she is the one that created them. She realized how important it was to have trauma-sensitive process and also to coordinate a grieving process. And in a way, it's also like the Paschal Mystery, because we start the retreat experiencing, being encouraging people to get in touch with the past pain in order to begin to understand it and to heal from it. Nothing is forced. And I want to make sure that everyone hears that. Nothing is forced. These are all invitations. The beauty of the retreat is that we hear our pain and what other people speak in the group. And it helps us to feel safe and to be able to finally put into words some of the things that have been carried around for decades. The oldest woman we had come was 94. Second oldest was 92, and she was pretty deaf. And so we made arrangements to help her to be able to heal and to be able to go through that process. The youngest one was age 17. So these retreats were an answer to a lot of years of study and caring about how can we help people who've had abortions. And so Dr. Teresa Burke wrote the manual. And it's a three-day retreat, and it, as I said, it takes people through that grieving process, the trauma, healing the trauma, and allows them to give dignity and honor to children that have been aborted or miscarried. It's not a retreat for miscarriage, but oftentimes women who have aborted also have miscarriages. So we want to acknowledge their motherhood and mm-hmm. the children that are lost. And I also see that it's a sad state of our society that we have generational abortions.
Oh,
so
wow.
a young woman can tell her mother, I'm pregnant. The mom says, well, abortion's your answer. It's nothing. I've had two, and grandma's had one or two. So it's sobering to hear those stories. And this young woman was not encouraged to keep her child. She was encouraged to just get rid of the problem and to move on. And And yet I think about that young woman wondering about her mother. Would she have been a different mother? Would she have stayed married to my dad? Would, you know, all the questions that might come up then of if it had not taken the route of abortion as a solution to a problem. So it's so these retreats have been going on since the late 90s. And so that's 25 years plus. And they're all over the world. I can't remember how many countries. It's like 11 countries been translated into the different languages. In the U.S., it's mostly English, and there are Spanish retreats. And there have been countless. I have no idea how many people have gone through these retreats, even in the U.S. alone.
This retreat, though, is for anybody who needs that hope and healing. It's not just for Catholics or Catholic converts who are trying to heal their past. This is open for any person who needs that.
That's correct. And so if someone calls me, contacts me, email or phone, and asks about the retreat, and let's say they don't even have experience in a Christian church and don't understand our perspective, it's still a trauma and a grieving process that isn't available anywhere else. So often I hear that women will say, I've been in counseling for years and years, and I still can't get over this. So counseling alone, it can have value, but it doesn't dig deep enough into the traumatic impact in someone's life and the fact that they cannot seem to resolve and come to peace with those experiences around abortion. And abortion often has other related experiences. It can be rape, it can be forced, it can be just a crisis situation of any kind. So it's solving a lot of a person's woundedness in their life going on the retreats.
Lori, you have been a part of so many of these retreats year after year, trying to find the people who need the healing and then offering this program to them. For women who you've seen go through this, and maybe you followed them in the years afterwards, how have you seen lives changed going forward from one of the Project Aurora retreats?
I have so many quotes from our evaluation forms that say something along the line of, you gave me my life back. I never knew I could be this happy. I never knew that I could make something more of my life than I have been, or make good decisions where I wasn't choosing partners that would abuse me. Just so many beautiful testimonies that are given to us. And we actually want to hear those because we want to know that this process is working, and we want to give them an outlet to be able to tell someone about their experience and how it's improved their life. And so there are a number of people who will volunteer afterward. Some even become part of our retreat teams and serve on the teams. And that does not mean that they say, oh, I'm all healed already. It means we're still together. We're supporting. We can talk about things as a team to help one another along as we continue on our healing journey. But during the retreat, of course, we're serving everyone and helping them to make all the steps, to utilize all the steps as well as they can.
Lori Eckstein is the executive director of Project Aurora joining us today. She is inviting women and men who need that healing from post-abortion to join them on their upcoming retreats. October 14th to the 16th is going to be in Eugene. In February, there will be a Portland retreat next year, and then again in May, the Medford retreat. Lori, this has been a great conversation. Perhaps someone's listening who needs a retreat like this or knows somebody who needs this retreat. Where can they go to find out the information, register, or find out other ways that they can help this project?
Our website is the most comprehensive place they can go, and it has a volunteer form. It has a list of symptoms that someone might have because of their abortion. They can look at that and consider whether or not this really applies to them. There's a place to donate. It just, you can find out a lot about our nonprofit and just how you might be able to help or to support in some other way. And by that, I mean talking about this these retreats, this ministry in all sorts of places in your life, mm-hmm. just by saying something like, I heard this radio program and I heard about these retreats, and just how extensive the impact is on people's lives after an abortion. And just putting that out where other people can hear it, you're not judging abortion, you're not judging someone else, but the listening ear, you're speaking with compassion and hope and encouragement that you care about somebody or some other people who are carrying the damage from abortion in their lives, and that there is hope and there is healing. In fact, Pope St. John Paul II gives us hope in his words from his encyclical, The Mercy of God. And I like this quote, it's kind of pieced together, but it's from that encyclical. God's love is more powerful than any kind of evil in which individuals, humanity, or the world are involved. For mercy is an indispensable dimension of love. It is, as it were, love's second name. So I just encourage people to speak mercy, to spread mercy, to live mercy around this very polarizing and painful experience and social. Oh,
and that's so perfect, because you know as well as I do, women who are post-abortive, they need to recognize that no matter what they are feeling, that God's love is greater and his love is what will heal them. Lori, thank you so much for being with us, and thank you for all the work that you do at Project Aurora.
Thank you. It all goes to God. He just keeps telling me what to do.
Amen to that. And again, that is Lori Eckstein, the executive director of Project Aurora. The website, I am going to add that to the podcast of today's interview, so that way you can get right to it. There's information about how to volunteer, all the information about the retreats, and most importantly, ways that you can financially support this project to help women and men find the healing that they need. And you'll find that link on the podcast of today's interview at materdeiradio.com and on the Hail Mary Media app.